Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 15th of March, recording at 7:12 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, firstly, highlights. Stock markets generally firm. Yet again, they've been rallying basically since last Thursday and are too strong for hedge short positions. And in government bonds, we have more weakness here. Yesterday we had a bit of a bounce, but it was mighty short-lived, and bonds, say, heading down once again. And the U.S. dollar soft in here today, in a fluctuating day, but near the lows of the day as I speak. And in the metals, generally firm, although actually they've given up. Well, I see gold has given up some of that gain in the last few minutes. So is palladium. So off the highs in here. Most other metals, mostly a little bit steadier. And in terms of the energy sector, bit of profit taking in what's been a up and down day. Here so far, certainly activity picking up in that sector. Now let's go back to the stock markets. Wall Street has put in a pretty impressive week, really, if we go stretch back into last week, starting last Thursday, I believe. And the NASDAQ has been making a a late recovery. And I am very much of the view that without the participation of the NASDAQ, I really don't trust a move upwards by the other indices. Now, also, while we have certainly seen some stock markets unravel recently and get some pretty big corrections, these have been particularly in the high-risk area. The Middle Eastern stock markets have seen a major correction. That's the sector that I identified as the one genuine bubble that we were looking at, and among stock markets. And we have also seen Eastern European markets, for the most part, see a fairly sharp correction. But as far as all the majors are concerned, and this is a point I've emphasized over and over again, they are not breaking down. They get corrections, they've shown some inconsistencies, or they go into ranging phases, such as we've seen with Japan and Korea recently, and what we've seen mostly with the U.S. indices, but they're not breaking down. And as of today, we've got the U.S. market trying to break up out of these ranges. It's near the high of the day. Dow's up 43, S&P 3.5, 11.5 on the NASDAQ composite, so pretty steady in here. Now, what would be very important technically is that the U.S. market has a history of breaking upwards out of ranges over the last year or two and not maintaining it. So it's the ability to maintain a breakout that would really lead to increased confidence. I'm not at all sure that's going to happen, but it could happen, and we have to give that upside the benefit of the doubt while we see a number of U.S. indices testing or pushing just above their earlier highs for the last 2 years. We have to give that side the benefit of the doubt until or unless we see downside failures. And the downside failures that are the most alarming, just to prepare us all for that, if that is to happen, the downside failures that are worrying are the ones that have a big dynamic. So you suddenly get the market not only not maintaining that upward break, but falling back really quite sharply. That hasn't happened yet, so for the third time, I'll say give the upside the benefit of the doubt until we see clear evidence of trouble. Now, government bonds. There's only one bullish story that I can think of for government bonds, and that is if stock markets are so weak that people retreat back into the fixed interest sector, one, to hopefully diversify their risk, or they would be hoping to reduce their risk, rather. And the other would be that if the stock market was sufficiently weak that they would interpret that as a sign that economic activity was going to slow. That's the only bull case that I can see for the government bonds, and it has to be said that there's an above average chance that we could see some of that, or some retreat, or some firmness in bonds, certainly if we get the medium-term correction in the second and third quarters that I have long talked about. It is, of course, not impossible that we could get the stock market correction and people don't really retreat that much into the bonds, or not into the long end of the bond market. So that's a second scenario, which would not be bearish for the government bonds. But I think the main story, and I've said it so many times, and I'm not going to repeat it all in here right now, regarding all the supply and the gradual building up of inflationary pressures, the whole story that I've outlined for bonds on many occasions. And now we're getting the confirmation in terms of the chart action. This area of the market is weak in here. Now, it's also, on a short-term basis, it's technically a little bit oversold. People say, well, what do you mean? If you're really bearish, you know, how can you say it's oversold? Well, the bonds have fallen sharply recently, and on very short-term little indicators, I seldom refer or use these, partly because if you see the move, and you look at the chart, you can know when something like, excuse me, stochastics, short-term stochastics are going to be oversold. So I don't feel I really do need to look at them, but that's the state today. We have a short-term oversold condition in the government bond markets. But I see no evidence that we're going to get anything more than a bit of steadying, small technical rally in here, and I suspect that would be a selling opportunity. I'm keeping some powder dry in case that does happen, in case they do firm sufficiently for me to feel, well, okay, now we've seen the technical rally, so sell again. But they might just keep going down, because this is a very important breakout. And when you get an important breakout, that converts a lot of people to the new religion. And you can get a very persistent move. Think of Japan and South Korea. Go back to last July, when they completed base formations, broke up and just kept going and kept going. Even the bulls were surprised with how strong they actually were. So, government bonds, that's enough on them. The U.S. dollar. The dollar soft in here again today. A lot of arguments have been aired on both on this site and elsewhere as to why the dollar should gradually unravel. What about that interest rate cycle, which I've mentioned so often, is still favoring the U.S. dollar? Yes, but the markets can reach a point where traders are willing to look over the cusp of the egg, or the curve of the egg, as you will. In other words, they know that short-term rates haven't peaked yet. They know that the Fed probably doesn't even know where rates have peaked. I've said all along that I suspected that the Fed had penciled in 5% and then said, let's see what actually happens. In other words, an event such as a major stock market correction would stay their hand, I certainly believe. Or if the economy surprised everyone with its robustness, then they would go on and raise beyond the 5% level. But just summarizing, that I think they had penciled in 5% some time ago, and investors and traders are now looking beyond that. And it's easier to look beyond that when you know that the ECB is also taking a hard line and raising rates in here as well. And there's also the argument that I have written about and posted information on, whereby we may well see those Japanese private investors start to sell some of their treasuries and shift money elsewhere, and quite possibly back into Japan. So these are all interesting points. They're more than straws in the wind, I think, in terms of sentiment, if not tangible realities yet today. And onto the precious metals. Well, I think if stock markets are firm, then we're not going to get any sort of cascade effect on the downside. That's my excuse for going in and picking up a little bit of gold today, but I'm certainly going to keep the position small because I don't like the overall environment at this stage. There are an awful lot of people who are long precious metals in here, whereas I feel in the bonds with the short bond positions that move has only begun, and I think that the big battalions of money, well, they're starting to move in that direction, obviously, because we're seeing some pretty fairly persistent moves. But there's nothing like not like the heavy build-up in this area that we have in stock markets on the upside, in some of the resources on the on the upside. Okay. What about energy? The technical action has been better recently. People really haven't paid too much attention to that yet, but you would have seen that gasoline chart that I posted yesterday. The whole complex has firmed up. Now, we've seen that before in recent months, and it's backed off again, ranging within this medium-term correction, which I'd said could last quite a while. But certainly, if the energy sector were to flare up, that would come as a bit of a cold shower for global stock markets. But that hasn't happened yet. Okay. Anything else to mention? Not that I'm aware of. I think that's it. So I'm out a little bit earlier than usual, and all the best to all of you.